Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current social, political, economic, prophetic events of life scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church, Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. With all the news of high gas prices, pain at the pump, the topic for this week is fossil fuels and the administration's policy. And my title is, Why Does the Left Hate Oil? And to begin with, I must admit, I love oil. To borrow a line from Forrest Gump's friend Bubba, you can barbecue it, you can boil it, you can bake it, you can saute it, you can pan fry it, you can deep fry it, you can stir fry it. And almost everything we have is made from oil. The nylon and colors in your clothing come from oil. The paint on your walls, the carpet under your feet, the upholstery on your furniture, the roads you drive on, the tires on your car, the seals, the bushings, the gaskets, the hoses, the seats, even the trim. All of the packaging from your food comes from oil. All of the plastics in your kitchen, in your children's toys, in your electronics, it's all oil. And even the insulation on wires comes from oil. Oil heats your home in the winter, it cools your home in the summer, it makes the vinyl siding and the roofing on your house, and by the way, it also makes your chariot go without you having to use horses. Oil is a great substance. Oil is carbon. And this one carbon molecule, C12 on the periodic table of elements, can be turned into a billion different forms of carbon chains, completely changing its properties. And even protein is a carbon molecule. Your DNA is carbon. And plants are made of carbon. And after they die, they transform into coal, gas, oil, which can then be burned and put carbon back into the atmosphere for plants once again to absorb. If there was no carbon in our air, every single plant on earth would die. And to borrow a phrase from Mark Twain, oil is proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy. So here's a big question. Why do those on the political left hate oil? Now, I'm sure everyone knows that the premise behind the question is true. The left is in a war against fossil fuels, so I shouldn't have to take an entire program to prove that point. With all sorts of quotes from the left opposing oil drilling and pipelines and refineries, everyone knows that those who are on the political right are all about drill, baby, drill, and those on the political left are all about saving Mother Earth. With the rise in gas prices, the Biden administration has been talking a lot about oil, blaming high prices on Putin and oil producers. But it's great to be able to go back to news articles from when Biden became president, and we can read story after story about how Biden boasted that he's going to shut down the fossil fuel industry. I'm sure the administration doesn't want us digging up those stories now. Here's one story from February 2020 in the campaign. Biden speaking at a rally in New Hampshire. Quote from Biden, we are going to get rid of fossil fuels. Here's another story from the AP, March 2021. Explainer, why is Biden halting federal oil and gas sales? Quote, President Joe Biden shut down oil and gas lease sales for the nation's vast public lands and water in his first days in office, citing worries about climate change. Now the administration has to figure out what to do with the multi-billion dollar program without crushing a significant sector of the U.S. economy. And while fending off sharp criticism from congressional Republicans and the oil industry, environmentalists and others who want more aggressive action against climate change, say a ban nudges the economy in a new direction. Biden wants to substitute fossil fuel production and consumption with policies that promote renewable energy on public lands, such as wind and solar power. The federal government is a huge player here. The government has market power, says attorney Max Sarzinski with New York University Law School's Institute for Public Policy Integrity. If you restrict the supply of oil and gas, you alter the market and you create a better environment for more sustainable fuels. Well, that's what the Biden administration did. They altered the market. So I think we've established the fact that the political left is in a war against fossil fuels. But again, the question, why? Especially given all the good things produced by fossil fuels, all those good things I mentioned earlier that we get from oil. You would even think that everyone would love the blessing. But that's the problem here. Some people do not see the blessing, or they take the blessing for granted, or they forget how miserable life would be without the blessing. One of the most common errors in sinful humanity is despising blessings from God, where they reap all the blessing from the family and then turn around and say, we don't need the family. Or they reap all the blessings from economic freedom and then say, we need to do away with economic freedom and turn to communism. They reap the blessing of being born into this world and being cared for by loving parents. And then they say, we need to have abortion and we ought not to care for our children anymore. Throughout the Bible, the wicked have always taken their blessings for granted. They've always despised their blessings. They always bite the hand that feeds them. And the unsaved of this world not only despise God, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4, they despise the Holy One of Israel, but eventually the unregenerate heart begins to despise all of the blessings of God. Their country, their heritage, their founders, all that God has given to them. Romans chapter 1, they become unthankful. And they have grievances over everything. Jude 16, they become fault finders, grumblers. They become haters of the earth and all the goodness that God says is in the earth. They become fearful and suspicious of everything. And they even begin to despise the gift of life itself, so that they become promoters of a culture of death. Their music, their art, even becomes dark. And the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the greatest gift that God has ever given to mankind, even he was a man who was despised. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3. If you despise someone, you will despise the gifts that they send you at Christmas time. You won't open them. You'll criticize them. You'll send them back. You may even destroy them. And that's how the unsaved world is with God's gifts. And as man's hatred of God grows, his hatred of the good gifts from God will also grow. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the last days, difficult times will come. Men will be haters of the good. So whatever is good, these people will hate. So while God loves us and wants us to be happy, the devil and his people hate humanity and want humanity to be miserable. Also, in the Old Testament, the land of Canaan is described as a good land. A land in which you will not lack for anything, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. Deuteronomy 8, 9. So wow, you can build things, you can mine for ore, you can smelt metal. But as Israel departed from God, we read in Psalm 106, 24, they despise the pleasant land. Just like Genesis 25:34, Esau despised his birthright. So ungodliness always leads to a state of poverty, to third world conditions, where people lose all motivation to tend the garden, to subdue the earth, to be fruitful and multiply, and in laziness and in ideological paganism, they sit in front of their grass huts and do nothing. So let's be careful not to become conformed to this world. Let's be careful not to become haters of the good, hating the good gifts of God, and becoming a fault finder, thinking that we're defending some social justice or environmental cause, because the despisers of the good always claim to be righteous when actually they're practicing unrighteousness. Now, all this might seem like a stretch when it comes to explaining why the left despises fossil fuels, but it's really something to be considered. There are some reasons that seem to be operating on a subconscious level, because there's no logical reason for this war on fossil fuels. It has to be coming from a moral, ideological worldview. Now, some would say it's not a hatred of oil, it's a hatred for pollution. And we get that. But CO2, the main complaint, is not a pollutant. It was deemed a pollutant by ideologues who are looking for a cause to shut down the use of fossil fuels. But which came first? The global warming hysteria or a hatred for fossil fuels? And I believe the history shows that it was an ideological hatred of fossil fuels that created the global warming hysteria. Now, granted, there are many uneducated people who have been duped into thinking CO2 is a pollutant, and they believe they are fighting for good air to breathe. But the whole global warming movement was started by earth worshippers who believed Mother Earth should not be touched because we're to serve the earth rather than the biblical teaching that the earth is to serve us. Like Al Gore writes in his book, Earth in the Balance, Native American religions offer a rich tapestry of ideas about our relationship to the earth. Then he quotes an Indian chief, "Will you teach your children what we have taught our children, that the earth is our mother? This we know, the earth does not belong to man, man belongs to the earth. All things are connected like the blood that unites us all." Well, that's completely a reversal of what the biblical book of Genesis says about our relationship to the earth. Then Al Gore goes on to praise pre-Christian pagan Europeans who worshiped nature. He writes, "Prehistoric Europe and much of the world was based on the worship of a single earth goddess who was assumed to be the fountain of all life and who radiated harmony among all living things. The last vestige of organized goddess worship was eliminated by Christianity." And in the context here, Al Gore is regretting that. He goes on to say, "It seems obvious that a better understanding of a religious heritage preceded our own, our Christian heritage, by so many thousands of years." And guess who is one of the leaders who got this whole global warming CO2 movement started? Al Gore. So like all radical environmentalists, Al Gore is getting his philosophy concerning the relationship between man and the earth from paganism. And that philosophy has radical implications concerning how we live and how we use the earth. You know, I guarantee you that in 50 years, if we completely eliminate gasoline engines and everyone's driving electric cars, that will not be good enough for these environmentalists. They will eventually say that electric cars have to be eliminated because it was never about concerns over CO2 in the atmosphere in the first place. It was never about global warming. It's about the worship of nature and a subconscious despising of humanity and human achievements. So again, there is a priori belief that fossil fuels must be bad because it's using the earth. And that belief looked for a justification to condemn the burning of fossil fuels, and they found it in CO2. You know, I always have to cover this point again. CO2 makes up only 4/100th of a percent of our atmosphere. Not 20%, not 10%, not 5%, not 1%, not even a half of a percent, but 4/100ths of a percent. And the complaint is that CO2 levels used to be 3/100ths of a percent before the industrial age, and even that's debatable. But the complaint is that this 1/100th percent increase in CO2 is going to warm up the atmosphere to dangerous levels, since CO2 is a slightly larger molecule than the typical oxygen molecule, and therefore it will absorb more heat. Now, there are plenty of scientists who say that that conclusion is absurd. Not only would the effect be minuscule, but the plants on Earth could use more CO2. There will always be an equilibrium. The more CO2, the more plants will grow to eat up that CO2. And in fact, since most of the world landmass is frozen tundra, we could probably use a little bit of global warming. But unfortunately, a 1/100th increase in CO2 is not going to help us in that regard. Now, good Judeo-Christian-based environmentalism had a case against acid rain. Power plants were putting out sulfur and nitrates in their exhaust, which created acid rain, and that hurt plant life. But in the 1980s, all the power plants were required to install scrubbers. So now they're putting out clean CO2, and that's a good thing. And also cars now have catalytic converters. So the environmentalist religion lost their indictment against fossil fuels and their indictment against drilling for more fossil fuels. But then the ideologues came up with this CO2 global warming theory. It was a made-up problem to shut down a certain activity that they did not want for ideological reasons. So beginning in the 2000s, the EPA started calling CO2 a pollutant, or what they started to call greenhouse gases. 12 states took the EPA to court, saying that under the Clean Air Act, the EPA did not have a right to declare CO2 a pollutant. And so in 2007, it went to the Supreme Court, and SCOTUS agreed with the EPA, assuming that they were the experts, and Congress, as usual, didn't step in to clarify the authority of the EPA. So now the government taxes carbon emissions, what are called carbon credits. And it's been said if the government could only figure out a way to tax the air you breathe, it would do it. Well, they figured out a way. Carbon credits. And so when Biden came into office, he raised the carbon credit price from $7 a ton to $51 a ton. And a federal judge recently blocked that action because the increase was not based on any science. It was the Biden administration just wanting to make the burning of fossil fuels more expensive and prohibitive. So let me just say it this way. The CO2, greenhouse gases, global warming movement is the biggest scam and lie put upon the American people. I mean, there's all this talk about COVID-19 vaccinations and the masking being a giant scam by Big Pharma, but that's nothing compared to the global warming scam. So in closing, why should we even discuss this on a Christian radio program? Shouldn't we just be preaching the gospel? True. But part of preaching the gospel includes graciously pointing out false gospels. Even the Old Testament prophets rebuked the false pagan teachings in their day. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 8, "But they're altogether stupid and foolish in their discipline of delusion. Their idol is wood." Jeremiah 10, 14, "Every man is stupid and devoid of knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, for his molten images are deceitful, and there's no breath in them." Isaiah 41:21, "Behold, all of them are false. Their works are worthless. Their molten images are wind and emptiness. Now, we understand that this condemnation in the Old Testament was against idolatry, the worship of stones and trees. But in our modern age, the same error exists, but it's not closely associated with religious superstition. Yet it's the same worship of nature. As the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, the sin of man is worshiping the creation over the creator. And again, Christians are all for real environmentalism, where we wisely use the resources on earth. What's happening now in the world is this religion of environmentalism. And these people really do worship nature. They value nature over other more important values. And this pagan worldview results in irrational, unscientific fears and policies. You know, as I mentioned last week, Mike Pompeo making a statement that when foreign policy leads with climate change, you get one outcome. And when foreign policy leads with religious freedom, you get another outcome. And it's no mistake that the same secularists who are global warming alarmists are also pro-transgender, pro-LGBT, pro-abortion, pro-socialism. Leftism is a religion. And when you come to Christ, you come recognizing that you have believed in the wrong God, in the wrong way to salvation. In Christianity Today last month, there was the testimony of Doreen Virtue. The headlines, "Please don't read my books anymore. I was a best-selling New Age author. Then God showed me my works were detestable in his sight." And this testimony is amazing. She was pushing yoga, astrology, divination, Eastern meditation, the worldview of Buddhism, Hinduism, shamanism, Celtic God and earth worship. Now, she's an extreme example of modern paganism, but that same ideological nonsense can be found in radical environmentalism. Well, amazingly, in 2015, while Doreen was driving, she heard a sermon by Alistair Begg on the radio. He was doing a sermon from 2 Timothy chapter 4 about those who will not endure God's truth, sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths. And she realized he was talking about her. Doreen writes that as she was reading the Bible, she was broken, deeply shamed, and humbled by the words. She dropped to her knees in shame and in sorrow. She said, "I'm sorry, God." I kept wailing in repentance. On that very day, I gave my life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So as Christians, that's what our message is all about. We're not trying to simply turn people into conservatives politically. That might be a byproduct of coming to the truth, and that is all some people might get out of being influenced by Christian culture. But it's much more than that. The real issue isn't about fossil fuels. That's just one tiny, tiny sign of one's worldview. The real issue is about turning one's whole life over to God and putting oneself under the authority of the Word of God. And in that, God grants salvation. A new heart, a new mind, a new purpose. One goes from being in the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website is godandcountryradio.org. The extended YouTube and Rumble programs are on my channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help us to realize that the real pollution is in our souls, and that the real environment that needs to be cleansed is our heart. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.